Good morning. Woo. Hello. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. And thank you, Julio, for that those choice of hymns, because I failed to ask you to lead in a hymn wherever you went. But that was number 500, which says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. What a wonderful, wonderful hymn. It ties right into what the Lord has given me to say this morning. But again, can we just open in a word of prayer as we begin our look in his word? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We thank you so much for loving us. And Father, not only providing the way of everlasting life, the Lord Jesus, but the way of intimate relationship with him continual growing in the knowledge of him as we walk here on earth. And help us, Lord, as we walk, to trust and obey. Help us to take the things we learn from your word, and may they be evident in our lives so that others would see your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we just commit this morning to you, and as we open your word, let the words be from you, Lord, not just from a man. Father, anything that would be wrong to say, just let me forget it altogether. And Father, we just pray that this would be a special time spent with you this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, turn if you would in the Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. It's interesting, as I have spent many weeks this summer and other summers at camp working with children, it's interesting when I go back that a lot of times they won't remember my name at all, which is okay, I don't care. But they'll come up to me like, oh, you're the one that, you talk like Mickey Mouse or like Donald Duck, right? You can imitate, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, that's my twin, right? Just throw them off a little bit. But, you know, you're the one that can imitate, and so it's a lot of fun. I've loved imitating voices since I was a kid, but it's interesting. I had one kid one time, I just simple Donald Duck something, and he looks at me, he's like, are you the actress that plays Donald Duck? No, I'm not the actress that plays Donald Duck. I'm not the actor that plays Donald Duck either. It's just kind of funny, the reaction I get. But when we look at Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators. And what does it mean to be an imitator? Why is it that these kids, you know, all of a sudden they're like, you know, whenever I start talking like these Disney characters, why is it that, you know, they're in awe? Well, it's because there's some kind of familiarity that strikes a chord in their mind, and they're like, oh, wow, I can identify with that. And this morning, I just want to start reading in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I just want to stop there for a second. And as we look through, I'm going to read several verses in Ephesians here. We're going to go to other passages as well. But this morning, I just want to look at how Paul, he writes about three different ways, three ways to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk as imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, I should say. And my prayer is this morning, and this is something that's been convicting to my own heart, so this is coming straight from, you know, conviction here. But my prayer is that we would be able to take these ways of walking to our hearts, to apply them to our lives, and so that we could be not only walk like the Lord Jesus, but we could be closer to him. And so, as we look, it says, therefore, be imitators. Be imitators, or maybe your translation says followers, or imitators of the Lord Jesus. Be imitators. And it adds, as dear children. Be imitators as dear children. And there's a couple times that phrase, as dear children, is mentioned in this passage. And so it's kind of struck the question in my mind, what does he mean, as dear children? Well, we all know children are good at imitating, right? That's why we have to be careful sometimes in what we say around the littler ones. because they will say it right back to us, right? They'll pick up on our imitations, or they'll imitate us. And I was like, where'd you get that? And like, oh, well, I said it, right? And they're good at imitating. Be imitators as dear children. As we're going to see later on, not just talking about children in infancy, but as children of God, be good imitators. Imitators of what? Well, of Christ. And Paul has written to the Ephesian church, and in previous chapters we read of his talking about the unity together with believers, having forgiveness for one another. And so he says, therefore, that's what the therefore is there for, it says, be imitators of Christ. As Christ has forgiven you, so also forgive one another. As Christ has loved you, so love one another. And so therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So what is it that Paul is saying here as we look at different ways to walk like Christ walked? Well, he says in verse 2, walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love. That's my first point. Walk in love this morning. And we're not talking about some kind of a romance novel here. We're not talking about love, you know, as you go take someone out for a date or your wife out or your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Well, actually, the boy should take the girl. Anyway. We're talking about what kind of love are we talking about? Well, the love that Christ has loved us with. And let's just think about that for a minute, because some days, I will confess, there's some days I can go throughout my day and think very little about the love that Christ has loved me with. It's my human nature, I think. I don't think like I should, perhaps. And what happens when we dwell on the love of Christ? Well, we saw it this morning in the Lord's Supper, right? We remember his death till he comes. We remember his love, how great his love. Because when we cease to remember, we start to forget, right? When we cease to remember, we start to forget how much we are worth in the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And so, what is this love that he loved us with? So, let me just paint a picture. I didn't bring my sketchboard or my paints this morning. But if I could paint a picture, again, and I'm going to use watercolors, not oils. So as I tell, you know, what the picture looks like, think about it in watercolor. I like that. I like watercolors better than oils anyway. So anyway, I'm painting a picture here, and when we look at this picture, we're on a hillside. It's the skies are a kind of a color of blue, but we can see a gray is fast approaching, gray skies. And in one corner here, we've got, you know, in the foreground, there's a nice bush and a tree, and underneath this tree are six soldiers. There's three of them kneeling on the ground and what looks like in front of some kind of cloth, and it looks like they're gambling. The three that are standing behind them, one of them is kind of has kind of a smirk on his face as he's looking and seeing what's happening, and the other, though, two of the others, their gaze is cast elsewhere on this painting. One of them's gaze is going to the center of the painting, which I'll describe in a minute. But the other one, his gaze is cast to the east side of the painting, where we see a woman who is in anguish. There's other women there with her, and she's being held in the arms of a young man who was seen with the Lord Jesus, who was called, maybe perhaps we could call him the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so in this corner of the painting on the hillside, we see the gaze of this soldier is cast over there, and this woman is weeping in the arms of this young man as she's reaching up toward the center of the painting. And what do we see in the center of the painting? We see three crosses. We see there's one man on each cross, and this it seems like everything is gravitating towards this the center of this painting, to the man on the middle cross, the Lord Jesus. Now there's two men beside him. One of the men his gaze is kind of away. It's away from Jesus, and he's looking down and seeing what the soldiers are doing as he's gasping for breath. But the other man is looking at Jesus with a tear in his eye. And the Lord Jesus himself, we see in this moment, is casting his gaze toward heaven as he's suffering there on the cross. And if we could put sound to the painting, we would hear him crying out, "It is finished. It is finished." Now, the name of this painting, it's just an imaginary painting, but I'm going to sign my name on the bottom. And this name of this painting is Propitiation. When we look at what Christ has done on the cross for us, what does that do in our heart? How does that affect our walk with the Lord Jesus? Our walk day to day, I should say. How does that affect how I treat you? How does that affect how I treat others I run into from day to day? As I contemplate the love, it says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling aroma. If you'll turn quickly to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 says, verse 7, "Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Walk in love as Christ has loved us." What does that mean? Think about the sacrifice that he made on the cross. How can that not affect the way we live day to day? Walk in love. That's what Paul was trying to portray to the Ephesian believers, is walk in love to each other. Walk in love, the same love that you've been forgiven with, the same love that was shown to you from the cross. Love others in that way, in that sacrificial way. And what is the result? Well, we read back in Ephesians that it was a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. A sweet-smelling aroma. Now, I know I can't take a lot of credit for it because the crock pot did all the work, but the other day I had a nice pulled pork, and I left it there in the morning, and I came home that evening ready for dinner, so hungry, and the aroma of pork was in the house. It was a beautiful thing. It was awesome. It tasted good too. But when we talk about an aroma to the Lord, you know, is my life an aroma to him? The way I love others, can that be described as a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord? Or does it kind of have a nasty stench to it? Because it could go either way. Our attitudes, our love or lack of it can go either way. But he says, love as Christ has loved you. Love, it's a love that results in a sweet-smelling aroma. And it causes me, again, to think, I used her several times in illustrations, but it's so wonderful to think of the woman who came and she broke that vessel of ointment before the Lord, spikenard. And she didn't just pour a little bit out and save the rest for later. She broke it out and spilled it out completely for the Lord, onto the Lord Jesus. And what a sacrifice that was. A very expensive bottle of ointment. And she broke it out. She gave it all to the Lord. It was, the Bible says that an aroma filled the house. An aroma that would last for days, reminding them of the sacrifice that was made. But Paul says to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And he goes on in verses 3-7 with the warning. Don't turn back to the ways that you have been in the past. Don't turn back to fornication. Don't turn back to all these filthy things because you've been transformed. Don't forget that. So walk in love as Christ has also loved us. Walk in love. There was a story, and I've told it before, but it's another beautiful story, of a kindergarten class that they're learning how to read. I remember those days. Those were the good days. I didn't have to pay to fill my car with gas. Mom and Dad did that. And, you know, all these things that, you know, I didn't have a care in the world except for I had to learn how to read. So But this kindergarten class was learning how to read. They were learning the three-letter words, right? The dog and cat, and you know, they're making the sounds as they spell them out to their teacher, and C-A-T, cat. Actually, no, it has two T's or one. No, just kidding. I did pass kindergarten. It's okay. the teacher says, okay, class, we're going to move on to something a little harder. This is a four-letter word. It's a little tougher, but who here can spell for me the word love? And everything was quiet. Who can spell for me the word love? Well, this one girl hopped up, and she didn't say anything. She just hopped up and ran to the front of the room and threw her arms around the teacher. It's like, I don't know the letters, but that's how we spell love at my house. I don't know the letters, but that's how we spell love. She didn't spell it. She demonstrated it. And we've had a love that's been demonstrated to us. God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world, right? God loved us so much. While we were still sinners, we read in Romans 5, right? Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. It's not my stomach, I promise. It's my beard. I don't think so. Okay. Ooh, it's a storm brewing. Okay. So walk in love as Christ has loved you. So what are you giving as in result of your love for the Lord? What is it? What is that sacrifice that you're making to love others? Can it be said that there's a sweet-smelling aroma that comes from you as you love others? Or is the aroma something that's not so sweet? We looked at how Paul says to walk in love. He says something else about our walk in verse 8 of Ephesians 5. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. Now, I read this verse and it was, I've read it so many times and glanced over it, right? And again, it's like walk as children of light. But there's a word here that struck me different than it did before. It says, "For you were once darkness." It doesn't say that I was in darkness. It says I was once darkness. That was the description of my life. That was the description that Paul uses to describe the Ephesian church here. You were once darkness, but you've been transformed into light. So, therefore, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. You were once, and it's just interesting looking at that contrast between light, because light doesn't become darkness. Darkness doesn't become light. They're two contrasting things, right? I walk in a room that's completely dark. I turn on a light switch, and the darkness goes away, right? The light transforms that place into a light. And so it says, walk as children of light. I was once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. I was once darkness. I think about being transformed into light. How does that work? How does that work? Well, if you turn to John chapter 8 in verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, and Paul reminds us, walk as children of light. You've been transformed by the source of light himself, the Lord Jesus, so walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. How do children of light walk? Well, they walk around just emanating, if I could say that word. I think that's the word I'm wanting. The light of Christ. It's like if I were to go and shine a light onto my mirror, it bounces off and shines somewhere else. I want to be like that mirror that the Lord Jesus shines onto me, and that light is transferred other places, right? It disseminates to other places. That's what I want to be. Walk as children of light. Again, we see that phrase, as children. Interesting. Walk as children of light. So it began by saying, you know, you were once darkness, so there's a contrast between darkness and light. But then it says, it also says, as children. And you know what? Because when I was in darkness, I was not a child of God. Before you trust Christ, there's no hope. Oh, there is hope. But you're walking around without hope, right? But when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a transformation takes place. You are now made into light. You're now a child of God. That's what John 1:12 says, right? To them who believe, he gives the right, the authority to become children of God. So walk as children of light. So I was once without a family, now adopted into royalty, into the Lord Jesus himself. Walk as children of light. And I was thinking of that transformation that happens. We see that several times in Scripture too. And back in John chapter 8, before the verse I just read, before Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what has just happened? There was a woman that was brought to him who was caught in adultery. And the leader said, oh, she must be stoned, right? They were trying to catch the Lord Jesus in the act as well. But they said, she must be stoned. We have to do away with her. And the Lord Jesus, what does he do? He stoops down and writes in the sand. Talk about a cliffhanger, right? talk about, okay, what are you going to say, anything? He writes in the sand. And he says, what does he say? He says, he who's without sin, cast the first stone. Nothing happened. He who's without sin. And what a story that woman had to take away from there that day. I was once caught and trapped in this sin of adultery, but Jesus came and transformed my life. This is who he says that I now am. I'm no longer who I once was, but I am now his. Wow. Can we all say that this morning? I hope we can. That I am now his. I was once caught in the snare of sin, the penalty of sin, but now Christ has transformed my life. So walk as children of light. I think of another man in John chapter 9. He was born blind. Couldn't see. There's no way he could see. And he was a beggar. And the Lord Jesus passed by, and we see him spitting in the sand, in the dirt, and putting it on his eyes. He says, go wash now in the pool of Siloam. And his sight was restored. His sight was given to him. Imagine that in the moment where you're living in darkness, and all of a sudden, whoa, I see light. I see people now. Wow. What a transformation. What a transformation. He can now see, and people say, well, how can you say? I was like, I don't know, but Jesus touched my eyes. I went and washed, like he said. I can now see. I once was blind, and now I see, right? So he should take credit for writing Amazing Grace, not Mr. Newton, right? But I was once blind, and now I see. Today, here, sitting here, what can you say? I was once blind, but now I see. I was once blinded by sin, but now I can see. So what does Paul tell us? What does he tell the Ephesian church? What are we hearing today? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness is righteousness and truth, finding what is acceptable to the Lord. And he goes through again and says things that don't go back to those old ways. Don't go back to living the way of darkness, but live as children of light. Walk as children of light. When I was younger, I read a book in school, and it was about, the setting was Morocco, and it was about a young boy and his family, his mother, father, and his little sister who was born blind. And his sister was born blind, and his father wasn't a very good man. He was there was a very poor family. He was contemplating selling his sister to a beggar man. And his mother feared for his sister's life and says, Hamid, go, take your sister. There's this nurse I've heard about in another town. It's a little ways away, but take her. She will take care of her. And so he goes, and he takes his sister that distance, and he gives her to the nurse, and he sticks around because, I mean, what's going to happen if I go home now, right? What's my dad going to do to me? So he sticks around. He lives as a beggar himself. And among his, he makes friends with the other little beggar boys. And occasionally they go to the nurse and she gives them some leftover food. And maybe for some errands and some work, she'll let them come and eat a meal with her. And she's not just a nurse, she was a missionary. And she took care of his little sister. Well, there was one evening where there was trouble. Someone was in need of medical help. And so Hamid goes in to the nurse and says, "My friend is in great need. Can you come?" She's like, "Okay, just wait right here. I'm going to go get my bag. I'm going to get my lantern, and we'll go." Well, as he waited, you know, it was very tempting. There was that, there on the counter was a bowl of eggs. He was very hungry. It was very tempting. So he says, "Well, she won't miss just a couple." So he takes them. He hides them behind his back, and she comes down with, and they start out on their journey. And the journey was a little rough. She had the lantern. The light was shining on the path. It was a very narrow path, rocky, and with ditches on either side. But Hamid was not walking in that light. He's like, "Well, if I walk in the light, she'll see the egg. She'll know I stole them." So he was walking at the side in darkness. It was very difficult. The nurse said a couple times, "Well, won't you come, you know, it's cold out. You can come be next to me, and we'll walk together. You don't have to be cold. You don't have to stumble around. You can walk in the light." And he didn't. He didn't want his deeds to be exposed, right? But then all of a sudden, his toe catches on a rock, and there he falls in the ditch. Well, she hears the commotion. She goes over and sees there's poor Hamid covered in mud and egg in the ditch, right? How did she know that? Well, because the light was casting out the darkness in that area. So she said, "Oh, Hamid, what's going on?" Well, he has to confess now, right? And she said, "You could have been walking in the light all that time, and yet you chose to walk in darkness." What is Paul telling us to walk in as children of light? Since we've been transformed into light, let us walk as children of light. Paul reminds us several times in this passage to not return to the evilness of our flesh, but to walk in light, to walk in love. And then he continues on then to say in verse 15, to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He says, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? That's a big word. I'm not a fan of big words. But when it comes to circumspectly, it's knowing your surroundings, walking carefully. It reminds me of Finding Nemo, if you remember that movie from old days, where, you know, Marlin is a very fearful clownfish, and with his son, they're coming out of their home, and he says, "When we go out, look around, come back in. We go out and come back in." And you could do that for you, and Nemo's just like, "Dad, come on, let's go," right? And blast from the past. Yes, I still watch cartoons. Okay. Anyway, it kind of reminds me of that, though. We walk circumspectly. We're glancing around. We know what's going on around us. We're not going to walk as fools, but as wise. It says, walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, buying up those opportunities each day to live for Christ, to live in wisdom, to walk in wisdom, knowing him. Just like, you know, since we've been transformed into children of light, since we've been loved with such an everlasting love, he gives us wisdom to live each day as children of wisdom, buying up those opportunities. When we look at the life of Christ spent on earth, every moment counted. He didn't have a moment where it's like, "Okay, we're just going to chillax in front of the TV today, disciples, okay? We're going to, you know, History Channel, anyone?" I mean, that wasn't his goal. Every moment counted for eternity. And that there is what has been one of the biggest convictions to myself as I've read this passage and studied this. It's, wow, is every moment of my life spent for eternity? Am I walking as a fool or as a wise man? Am I walking in wisdom knowing my surroundings? That's why we're signing a petition back there. Because we're walking in wisdom. We know what could happen if, you know, and so we're taking action. Walk in wisdom. many of the disciples, and Paul, we see Paul himself, his life, one thing, when he was transformed miraculously by Christ, and whenever he was transformed, his life was now spent for the Lord. Is mine the same? And it says to redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be controlled by any other substance, but then by the Holy Spirit himself. And how does that happen in our lives, though? What does that even look like? I mean, I don't want to mistake the Holy Spirit for my feelings and just go, you know, driven by my feelings in life. But what does it look like to be controlled by the Spirit? Well, he goes on to say, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. There's four things here, he says. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always and for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. We have a whole passage that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit? And we sing that song at camp, which, you know, it's not my favorite song, but, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is not a coconut, right? It's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit is not a watermelon, right? And but the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, right? What is the result of the Holy Spirit leading in our lives? We'll see those things in our lives. It says, do not live as fools. Don't be controlled by any other substance but the Holy Spirit himself. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I was having a conversation with some young men recently, and we're like, when does that happen? When should that happen? That should probably happen daily in our lives as we talk with other believers. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we come this morning, when we come on Sundays and Wednesdays, it's a good time for it to happen, but it could happen during the week. Call someone up, say, hey, I read this verse today. And, you know, we could text it too, but there's something about the old voice technology, you know, talking lips to lip. Well, that sounds really weird. talking with our lips to the ears of someone else. Okay, I'm just going to stop. But you know what I mean, right? Actually hearing someone else say words from their lips. This is what the Lord has been convicting me of. This is what I've been encouraged with in the Word of God. Hey, have you thought about this before? This is what I was reading this morning. Speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a lot we could talk about. We could talk about the latest, Marvel movies. We could talk about, you know, cutting the grass yesterday. Or we could talk about, you know, the weather being just so-so. Or, you know, but what about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Sometimes that gets caught in the wayside. But I will tell you, it is a joy to be able to go home from being with another believer and just feeling encouraged, feeling refreshed in the Lord. Because why? Because we're speaking to each other. Perhaps it's from the Word of God. Perhaps it's something that the Lord has been speaking to you about. Perhaps it's a hymn that we sang this morning. Like I said, Julio picked out the perfect hymn because that's exactly the one that was speaking to my heart. And so that was amazing to see the Lord work in that way. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. How does that happen? It's a result of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but how does it happen? Well, it's because I need to be, if I want to make melody in my heart to the Lord, usually that happens when I'm spending those intimate moments with the Lord, when I'm side by side with him I'm reading or just praying to him. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes I'm just making up a goofy song. It seems goofy to me because it's not a real song, but it's a praise song to the Lord because, you know, that's what my heart is rejoicing in. Giving thanks for all things to God. Notice it doesn't say giving thanks for the good things to God, but for all things. For my stubbed toe, you know, I can thank God because, well, I don't know yet. I have to still think about that one, right? But how can I thank God for the negative things? For being totally exhausted after, this was me yesterday, after a week of training and a week of seminars and everything, and Lord, I don't like feeling exhausted and just like worthless, but thank you for the time that I can now just sit in the quiet moments and spend with you. How can we take a moment that seems not like a good moment or seems to be a trial and thank the Lord for? Lord, I thank you for what you're about to teach me, perhaps, would be the prayer in this moment. Giving thanks for all things. How else can we live by the Spirit's control? What is the result? It says, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting, I think there's another reference to fellowship with other believers there. But not just fellowship, but a camaraderie with believers. A camaraderie that's not a... trying to figure out how I wanted to say that. I had it all thought out in my mind. But often, sometimes what happens, even among believers, wow, this is going to sound crazy, but we try to one-up each other perhaps. Oh, you did it this way. Well, I think it would be done better this way. I think I'm being controlled by the Spirit here in saying that, you know, you should do it this way instead. Rather than, okay, you know, coming alongside, discussing it, coming alongside and, you know, fellowshipping over it perhaps, or, you know, or saying, thank you for doing that. Thank you for, you know, I had never seen it done that way, but that's it works. That's good. Rather than having what I call the alpha complex and trying to one-up the other person, but submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Having an attitude of Christ rather than being led by the Spirit rather than being led by my flesh in that moment. I think that's what Paul's saying here. Walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly. Be guided by nothing else but the Holy Spirit. No one else but the Holy Spirit. So in light of this, in light of looking at who we are in Christ and these commands, how are we living our life? How are we walking each day? Can I say, yes, my life is being led by the Holy Spirit? I'm walking as a child of light. My life is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Or is there some things that need to change? As I've looked at this passage, the Lord's been like, Tim, there's some things that need to change here. How do I live controlled by the Spirit? How do I live as an imitator of Christ? Be imitators as dear children. Be imitators. Let's walk as he walked. Let's talk like he talked. Given the life that we now have in him, let's live controlled by the Holy Spirit. And what would be the results? Well, I pray it would be a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. That would be that it would be a contagious life, that others would see Christ in me, that others would see Christ in you and say, well, what is different about you? You know, it's not just your deodorant today. It's something else is different. I'm smelling something different. Well, it's the smell of Christ on your life. How can we live like Jesus lived? You know, whenever I have those moments with children at camps and they ask me if I'm the actress that played Mickey Mouse, it's kind of a fun moment. It's like, no, I'm not the actress that plays Mickey Mouse. But oftentimes, you know, even the goofiest of moments like that can be used to be a light for the Lord. And so let us use the moments that Christ gives us each day as we've been transformed by him. Let's see about being a living light for him. Being a light that shines that others would say, are you? No. Are you a follower of Christ? Because you look like him, you smell like him, and it looks like it's a beautiful thing. That's my prayer for us this morning. That's my prayer for my own heart, is that we would be walking as children of light, walking in wisdom, walking in love toward each other, toward other people. And that only comes from the Lord Jesus himself, looking at his life, being reminded, like we were this morning in the worship meeting, of who he is. I pray that would be us daily. One of my prayers recently has been, Lord, help me not to forget. I don't want to come to a place where I feel like I know all about the Lord Jesus in his death and resurrection. I want to be transformed daily by the fact that he died and rose again and the fact that he lives in me. May that be true of all of us. Heavenly Father, we just we give ourselves to you this morning. And Father, if there's things that need to change in our lives, I pray that you would show us how to change them. And I think the way that we find out how to change them is we step a little closer to your Son, the Lord Jesus. We look at your word, and we glean from it how he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, how do we live that abundant life? How can we draw closer to Jesus? I pray that today would be a day we would draw closer to Jesus, and then in the way that we could say, I feel so much closer than I did yesterday. And tomorrow, I pray that it would be a day that I could say, I'm closer yet. And Lord, help us never to come to a place where we think we have all the knowledge of Christ, because there's never going to be that moment. Father, help us to walk as children of love, as children of light, and help us to walk in wisdom, not fearing what's around us, but walking in light of who we are in Christ, walking with boldness before you. Father, we love you. I just commit this group of believers into your hands, and I just ask that you would continue to be on our minds throughout the day, and transforming our hearts and lives. I pray in your name. Amen.